Let's take our Bibles and turn with me to the book of Proverbs, chapter 26. Proverbs 26. I'd like to look at one verse of Scripture. Verse 11. Proverbs 26, 11. The Scripture says, "As a dog returneth to his vomit, so a fool returneth to his folly." Now, we have a real blessing today. And the blessing is to have the Lord Himself explain this passage of Scripture. And He explained it in the book of 2 Peter. So turn over. You can mark that right there. But I'm going to spend most of my time here for the next few minutes in this book of 2 Peter, because here is the explanation of this passage, where we're not left to wonder. We're not left to wonder about the... Well, the only word I can think of right now is the grossness. Those of you that's ever seen a dog vomit and then eat it again, it's just repulsive. But the Scripture has been pleased to take that event to teach us something of the miracle of God's grace to send all of us a faithful preacher. The Scripture says in 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 22, Peter, under the inspiration of God's Spirit, ends this chapter saying this, "But it is happened unto them, according to the true proverb, the dog is turned to his own vomit again, and the sow that was washed to her wallowing in the mire." Now, what I want to do, I'm going to read this chapter, 2 Peter 2. I'm going to make a couple of comments, because I want us to get a hold of what led up to that last verse. Spirit of God explained it. He said, you know, it's happened unto them. Now, I want to know, let's look at the them. And may the Lord give us some understanding. 2 Peter 2, verses 1 to 8 says, "But there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privily shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction. And many shall follow their pernicious ways," their lascivious ways, "by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of. And through covetousness shall they with feigned words make merchandise of you, whose judgment now of a long time lingereth not, and their damnation slumbereth not. For if God spared not the angels that sinned, but cast them down to hell, and delivered them to chains of darkness to be reserved unto judgment, and spared not the old world, but saved Noah, the eighth person, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood upon the world of the ungodly, and turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemned them with an overthrow, making them an example unto those that after should live ungodly, and delivered just Lot, vexed with the filthy conversation of the wicked. For that righteous man dwelling among them, and seeing and hearing, vexed his righteous soul from day to day with their unlawful deeds." Now, the Spirit of God has just set forth that there is going to be imposters. There's going to be false prophets back in verse 1. Where are they going to be found? Now look at verse 1. Among the people. Now, there's going to be tares. We know that among the wheat. The Lord's promised that. There must be those among us that prove the faithfulness of God's elect. But these false prophets, according to that scripture right there, are found among the true saints of God. And it says men who privily, craftily, they know their craft, shall bring in damnable heresies. What is a damnable heresy? Well, the word is actually, it's a word of destruction. And the craft of it is that there's a lot of truth in what is said, but there's leaven in it. They do it by stealth. And they say grace, they speak grace, but preaching, really adding works. And it says that these men that shall privily bring in these damnable heresies, even denying the Lord, that is diminishing the work and the person and the glory of Christ. Even denying the Lord that bought them. Now, I've made a few statements before on this particular word, bought them, but I want to spend just a couple of minutes here, and I want us to come by the grace of God to an understanding of what is actually being said here, because if we're wrong on what is being said right here, I'm telling you, when you say denying the Lord that bought them, I mean, let me tell you where you're at. You're at a crossroad. Now, this is either going to go to works or grace, one of the two. Now, when you start talking about bought, hearing that word, bought, the Lord that bought them. And I want us to understand exactly what the Spirit of God is saying through the Apostle Peter. And you've heard me say, if you ever find a passage of Scripture that appears to say something that just seems to be, you know, that just doesn't seem to fit what I know is so. You've heard me say, just spiritually speaking, just set it up on a fence post. And then take Scripture that you know is so, and if I can knock it off, knock that Scripture that I think I understand. If I can knock it off with another Scripture, then that means that I just didn't understand what was being said by that Scripture that I set up on a post. So here's what I want to do. I've told you before, just bear with me. I'm going to try to be so plain and simple, but I have to be this way. This is how I was looking this up. Trying to find out. I want to know. I don't want to think I know. I want to look this up. And I want to try by the grace of God to come to the heart of it. What does that word bought mean? Denying the Lord that bought them. Well, again, you've heard me say, I don't speak Hebrew and I don't speak Greek. But I've got a Vines Concordance. I've got a Thayer's Concordance. I've got Strong's Concordance. I've got concordances. Now, these men that are supposedly scholars, you know, and then I'll take them and I'll just read one, but just because you read one, just compare them. Find out if they're saying the same thing. Look it up. This word, again, I'm not trying to impress you. This is the only way I know how to say it. This word, bought. The word in Greek is agorazo. Okay, the reason I tell you that is because I want you to understand what that word bought means. It means to go to market or to purchase. That's what it means. And when you look that word up, it does have in the meaning of the definition of that word, it has the word redeem in it. But the word that we would understanding that we would understand as far as the word redeem, when we think of the blood of Christ and that redemption, that's not what this word means. It means to go to market. Mr. Vine, in his exhaustive concordance, states this very plainly. He said, this word, you go and look it up in Vine's. And he said, this word does not mean redeem in the sense of redemption by the blood of Christ. It does not mean that. It means to go to market. All right, I'm building something here, so just bear with me. Mr. Thayer says that this word means to make one his own private property. That's what it means. It means bought. Now, that's the word agorazo. That's the word used right here, that bought them. To go to market, it's his own property. It's his. Now, the word that we understand for redemption, for redeem, that word is ex agorago. This one is agorago. Ex agorago is that word that is used in this passage of Scripture, Galatians 3:13. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. Now, we'd understand that. We understand that word redemption right there. All right, one of them means redemption from the penalty of sin. In fact, Mr. Thayer, on that word ex agorago, which is not this word, I'm just telling you what the word is. Here's what Mr. Thayer says: to redeem by payment of a price to recover from the power of another. Okay, I can go along with that. All right, so ex agorago, that word. That's the word we understand, redemption. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law being made a curse for us. But in our context, who are these that have been bought? That they're denying, the Scripture says, they're false teachers among who bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction. Well, the Scripture sets forth concerning these. Look, I'll read this in just a minute in 2 Peter 2. Look at verse 12. Now here, I'm still describing them. These as natural brute beasts made to be taken and destroyed. Birthed to be taken and destroyed. Procreated to be taken and destroyed. Now, that's what the word means. When it says made to be taken and destroyed, they speak evil of the things that they understand not and shall utterly perish in their own corruption and shall receive the reward of unrighteousness as they that count it pleasure to riot in the daytime. Spots they are and blemishes sporting themselves with their own deceivings while they feast with you. Now, just reading what we're reading here, it does not sound at all like these men are even remotely believers, does it? They're not. They're false prophets. But the Scripture says that these are they that were bought. They went to market. They're the possession of. If that word in 2 Peter 1 meant that Christ had paid their debt for their sins at Calvary, then according to the Scriptures that we know, now here it is, it's sitting up on the fence post right here. If somebody tells me, now that says that Christ bought them, so there he's paid their debt at Calvary. The Lord is going to. But I know it says that they're false prophets, and I know that they were made to be taken and destroyed, and I know that they shall receive the reward of their unrighteousness. But that was because that they didn't accept the Lord as their own personal Savior. Now we've done gotten into works. So now, it's up on the fence post, now here's what I'm going to do. I want you to hold your place right there and turn back to John 6. Now here's what the Lord said. John 6. John 6, I'm going to read verses 37 to 40. Now this is what I know is so concerning all that Christ received in electing grace from his Father, all that he died for. This is what I know for a fact. John 6, 37 to 40. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me. And him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. For I came down from heaven not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. And this is the Father's will that has sent me, that of all which he hath given me, I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again at the last day. And this is the will of him that sent me, that every one which seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day. So let me tell you what I know for a fact. If Christ has bought and paid for a sinner by his own shed blood, bought him, redeemed him, he's not going to lose him. He will not perish. The Lord said that. So what does this word back in 2 Peter mean? The Lord that bought them. The word, again, bought here has to do with possession. That is to say, the Lord owns them. It is a word to go to market. It is a word of ownership. He owns them. And therefore, as all men are the Lord's, he owns them. He owns them. Listen to this, Ezekiel 18:4. Behold, all souls are mine. As the soul of the Father, also the soul of the Son is mine. The soul that sinneth shall die. A soul that perishes in unbelief, did that soul belong to the Lord? Yes. It was the Lord's. It were his by possession. And turn with me. You can hold it in 2 Peter, but we're going to come back. Go back to Romans 9. Romans chapter 9. Romans chapter 9. What is the Lord going to do with all souls that are his? Those that are bought. Those that are the possession of. Understand. Keep that in your mind, what that word means. To go to market. They're his. I'm going to tell you how they were bought in just one second. I'm getting there. What is he going to do with them? Romans chapter 9, verse 15 and 16. For he saith to Moses, I will have mercy on whom I'll have mercy. I will have compassion on whom I'll have compassion. So then it's not him that willeth, nor of him that runneth, but of God that showeth mercy. Almighty God has the right to show mercy to one and leave another to themselves. Look at verse 9, 17, and 18. For the scripture saith unto Pharaoh, even for this same purpose have I raised thee up, that I might show my power in thee, and that my name might be declared throughout all the earth. Therefore hath he mercy on whom he'll have mercy, and whom he will, he hardeneth. Are all souls his? Yes. His by possession? Yes. Does the Lord have the right with his possession to show mercy to one and leave another to himself? Yes. The scripture bears that out. And with that truth set forth, what do we do? Verses 19 to 23. Thou wilt say then unto me, why doth he yet find fault? What they're saying is, why, if the Lord has mercy on whom he'll have mercy and compassion on whom he'll have compassion, and it's not of him that willeth or him that runneth, but if God showeth mercy, well then, how can he find fault with me? It's not my fault. It's God's fault. If I go to hell, it's God's fault. Why does he yet find fault? Listen to the answer of the Spirit of God. For who hath resisted his will? Nay, but O man, who art thou that repliest against God? Why are you questioning God? You don't have a right to question God. Are all souls hid? Yes. Will he do what he will with his own? Yes. Does he have mercy and compassion on one and harden another by leaving him alone? Yes. Do I have a right to question God? No. Shall the thing formed say to him that formed it, why hast thou made me thus? Hath not the potter power over the clay of the same lump to make one vessel unto honor and another vessel unto dishonor? What if God, willing to show his wrath and to make his power known, endured with much long suffering the vessels of wrath fitted or made up to destruction, that he might make known the riches of his glory on the vessels of mercy which he hath afore prepared unto glory? So here's the bottom line. We have absolutely no right to question the fact that God owns all men. All souls are mine. Soul of the Father, soul of the Son, soul of the sinner is going to die. He has a right to show mercy to one and harden another one. And we have nothing to say. Nothing. Here's what we bow. Here's what we do. We bow. So when it comes to the scriptures speaking of these false prophets among the people, those who bring in damnable heresy, these soft, insinuating, man-centered, man-honoring, words that appeal to the flesh, words spoken that's attempting to strip the Lord of his glory and his majesty and sovereignty, what's going to happen to them? Swift destruction. That's what he said. They deny that the Lord who owns them, they deny him by their craftiness. And the scripture says in verse 2, back in 2 Peter 2, it says, many shall follow their pernicious ways, those ways of ruin, those ways of loss, ways of destruction. They are the Lord's property. They're the Lord's property. That's what it meant, denying the Lord that bought them. Not redeemed them by his blood. Not what it means. The one that owns them. So the Lord is said to have bought them in the sense that he owns them. How? Two ways. By creation, they're the Lord's. Colossians 1:16, all things were created by him and for him. For him. For his glory. In the exhibition of his mercy or the exhibition of his justice, they're created for him and are his by gift of his Father. John 17:2, thou hast given him power over all flesh that he should give eternal life to as many as the Father hath given him. So remember, according to these scriptures, if God spared not the rebellious angels, spared not the old world and saved Noah and his family only, and spared not Sodom and Gomorrah, but saved just Lot, his family, what's going to happen to these? Verses 9 to 19 in our second chapter, I'll just read it. The Lord knoweth, 2 Peter 2, 9, the Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly out of temptations and to reserve the unjust until the day of judgment to be punished. But chiefly them that walk after the flesh in the lust of uncleanness and despise government. Presumptuous are they, self-willed. They are not afraid to speak evil of dignities, whereas angels which are greater in power and might bring not railing accusation against them before the Lord. But these as natural brute beasts made to be taken and destroyed speak evil of the things that they understand not and shall utterly perish in their own corruption. And shall receive the reward of their unrighteousness as they that count it pleasure to riot in the daytime. Spots they are, and blemishes, sporting themselves with their own deceivings while they feast with you. Having eyes full of adultery that cannot cease from sin, beguiling unstable souls or heart, they have exercised with covetous practices, cursed children, which have forsaken the right way, have gone astray, following the way of Balaam, the son of Bosar, who loved the wages of unrighteousness, but was rebuked for his iniquity. The dumb ass, speaking with man's voice, forbade the madness of this prophet, of the prophet. These are wells without water. Clouds, they are carried with a tempest, to whom the mist of darkness is reserved forever. For when they speak great swelling words of vanity, They allure through the lust of the flesh, through much wantonness, those that were clean escaped from them who live in error. While they promise them liberty, they themselves are the servants of corruption. For of whom a man is overtaken of the same, he is brought in bondage. So here's these false prophets who deny the Lord that bought them. Deny the Lord that owns them. Verse 12 again. They're made, verse 12, to be taken and destroyed. Those that were made, Young's literal says, made to be caught and destroyed. Strong's is one that says procreated. The Amplified says born only to be taken and destroyed. And with this truth established, who they are, that the Lord owns them, and he do as he will with his own. I'm going to look at the last three verses of this right here, and then I'm going to wrap this up. These last few verses, we're going to consider the truth that we read back in Proverbs 26:11 that Peter repeated. Now, he's talking about false prophets. They have a form of godliness. Now listen, he says in verse 20, If after they have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, they are again entangled therein and overcome, the latter end is worse with them than the beginning. Now here's another verse of Scripture that we need to understand exactly what's being said. If after they have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, it does not mean that they were saved, regenerated, and then lost. Now again, I can put that up on a fence post, but I don't need to. Those that are regenerated by the grace of God are kept, 1 Peter said, by the power of God through faith. So we know it does not mean that a man can be saved and then lost again. I know that that's not... What's it talking about? It says... Let me just paraphrase it. Write it, you know. If these religious false professors... That's who they are. I just read that. If these religious false professors, because of the form of godliness that they have, and this is what it is, they're deceivers. They have a form of godliness. They have a form of godliness. They're crafty. All right. They lead many astray. So you know that there's something that they're doing. They're moral. If these religious false leaders, because of the form of godliness that they have, have escaped. Now when it says the pollutions of the world, what it is, it's the open commission of heinous acts of sin before men. They're moral people. They're moral. The Pharisees, I've said before, the Pharisees were moral people. You couldn't get them to do anything wrong. I mean, you didn't have to lock your door. They're not going to come in. They're not coming in. They're moral. They've escaped the pollutions, that heinous acts. They're not murderers. They're not rapists. They're not. They're just, but the thing is, they've denied the Lord. They deny his sovereignty. They're crafty. They're good people. I mean, humanly speaking, that's what I'm talking about. You know what I'm talking about. If they escape the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior, here's the thing. These guys are sitting under the gospel. And when it says through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, I mean, the only place you're going to hear of the knowledge of the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, is under the sound of the gospel. These guys, back in verse 1, were false prophets among the people, among God's people. They were sitting under the gospel. And they were moral people, deceivers, but leading astray. They've heard the gospel, and they've been kept. I mean, I don't want anybody to think that they're a sinner. Not a sinner. They're moral people. They've escaped the pollution through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior. If they are again entangled therein and overcome, the latter end is worse than the beginning. If those, again, I'm going to paraphrase it. If those who have a reputation as being a believer, they've sat under the gospel. They're moral people. They're good people, hard-working people, church-going people. You know what I'm talking about. Church. Everybody's a Christian. You know. If they should quit, if they are again entangled again therein and overcome, they quit the hearing of the gospel, of God's free and sovereign grace, and are entangled again. They go back. That's what he's talking about. They left and go back. That's First John 2:19. They went out from us because they were not of us. For if they would have been of us, they surely would have remained. That's what we say. The latter end is worse with them than the beginning. The latter end. If one has a life of apparent godliness, declaring that he is a true believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, believes the gospel of God's free and sovereign grace, and the scripture says, and he goes back, it proves what he is. And verse 21 says, for it had been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness. Now he's talking about the gospel again. There's not but one true way. He's not talking about sitting under a false gospel here. He's talking about sitting under the way of righteousness. It had been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than after they have known it to turn from the holy commandment delivered unto them. These people were hearing the truth. They were hearing the truth. And they leave. They leave. And you know what the Spirit of God has told Peter to say? You tell them it's going to have it been better for them if they had never heard it. It had been better to have never heard it than to have heard it and left it. Now that's serious. The Lord deals with this. I'm wrapping this up. Matthew 11:20. The Lord bore this out. Matthew 11, verse 20 to 24. Then began he to upbraid the cities wherein most of his mighty works were done, because they repented not. Woe unto thee, Chorazin. Woe unto thee, Bethsaida. If the mighty works which were done in you had been done in Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented long ago in sackcloth and ashes. But I say unto you, it shall be more tolerable for Tyre and Sidon in the day of judgment than for you. And thou, Capernaum, which art exalted unto heaven, shall be brought low down to hell. For if the mighty works which had been done in thee had been done in Sodom. Now listen to this. If the mighty works which was done in you had been done in Sodom. Sodom. It would have remained until this day. But I say unto you, it shall be more tolerable for the land of Sodom in the day of judgment than for thee. Verse 21, for it had been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness. It had been better for them never to have heard the gospel than after they've known it to turn from the holy commandment delivered unto them. And then the Spirit of God moved upon the Apostle Peter to pen this. But it happened unto them, according to the true proverb, the dog is turned to his own vomit again, and the sow that was washed to her wallowing in the mire. Oh, for grace in the midst of this wicked and perverse generation. May the Lord keep us from the vomit of deception. Somebody say, I'd never be deceived. Be careful. Pray, God, keep me. Lord, keep me. If others have left, what would keep me from leaving but the grace of God, power of God, kept by the power of God? Don't ever think that you're so strong, you know. Don't think that you're ever so stable. I would never do that. That's foolish talk. Lord, keep me. Keep me where the gospel's being proclaimed. Lord, show me where it is boldly, consistently, freely proclaiming. Lord, keep me. You know how to keep me. The Lord knows how to keep his own. That's what he said. Lord, keep. He's going to give grace to discern grievous wolves. He's going to give grace, but he'll keep us. Lord, keep it in my heart. Lord, I'm so weak. I'm so weak. And but for your grace and your power and your mercy, I'd be gone today. May the Lord be exalted and his people encouraged and edified for his glory and our good. Amen.